Muchas gracias, misionero Miguel Bermúdez Marín. Que Dios te siga bendiciendo grandemente. Y gracias por todos.
Thank you very much, missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín. May God continue to bless you greatly. And thank you for all those scriptures and everything you were reading to us, which we wanted you to continue so that we could see everything contained there. And whenever you have this participation, everything you wish to, don't put limitations like that. Rather, may God use you. And may you speak to us everything you have to say. So, you also have an indefinite amount of time to speak to us. Good morning to all who are here in the Great 10th Cathedral. May God bless you greatly. And also to those who are listening to us and watching us through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8, and also through internet in different countries. Today, Sunday, February 4th of this year, 2024. Let us search in our Bibles in the book of the prophet Isaiah. There in this portion that he read from Isaiah 61, 1, 2, and 3, in this message that we will be watching and listening to, The Messianic Age, preached on November 21st, 2015. And let us read in chapter 63, verse 1 and on, where he tells us, who is this that cometh from Edom with thy garments from Bozra? Edom, there on the side he writes, Gentiles. This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. And there he writes Malachi 4, 1 and 2. And above he had written Revelation 19, verse 11 to 21, and 14, 14 to 20. That is the fifth horse rider of Revelation. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garment like him that treadeth in the wine fat? And there he also writes several scriptures. Revelation 14, 19, 6, 17. All those scriptures there. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury. And their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help. And I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury. And I will bring down their strength to the earth. Revelation 14, 16 to 20. He wrote that there. And 19 and 6, 12 to 17. The Messianic Age. You may please be seated. Notice, in this portion that our brother Miguel was reading to us, of which I want to read something here, which is the occasion when Joseph had done something, Brother Branham's son, And she told him to scold him. And notice on page 18 of the message, look away to Jesus. It says, one day I come in, and she has had to raise these children by herself. Me gone in the ministry. Not many women would put up with that. That is, having to leave, and she would stay taking care of the children. You know that. They would be hard. And then I come in, and she says something or the other. We got Joseph back there, and he sure is a boy, and he helped put some of the gray hair in his mother's head, as well as I did. That is, as he did also with his mother. That is, maybe he was a little mischievous. So, he was really all boy. And he had done something real bad. And I said to her, she said to me, Bill, give him a licking. I said, I just ain't got the nerve. And she said, yes, if you had to put up with it. And she slammed the door right in my face. That is, she said that, and she slammed the door. Well, I thought, that's all right. Poor little fellow didn't mean that. I just went on out to wash my car. That is, his car, his automobile. And when I got out there, the Holy Spirit didn't like it. That is what our brother Miguel was talking about. Notice, Brother Branham didn't see anything wrong with it. An argument they had, and she reacted that way. He let it go by, but the Holy Spirit did not. He said, who? The Holy Spirit. Go tell her. I believe it's 2 Chronicles, 22nd chapter. I thought at first, I just imagined that. I just kept on washing. And he said again, go tell her to read this. And I went in and got the Bible and read it. No, it was not that scripture. But let us continue here. It was where Miriam the prophetess made fun of her brother Moses for marrying an Ethiopian girl. And God didn't like it. And he said, it had been better that her father spit in her face than to done that. There he writes, Miriam made fun of Moses. So, Miriam broke out with leprosy all over. And so Aaron come, told his sister, said, or come told his brother, said, she is dying with leprosy. And so Moses run in to intercede for her at the altar. And when he did, the pillar of fire come down. God, he said, go call her and Aaron and bring them here. And Aaron was in it too. So he said, call them and come here. Same thing that happened with Billy on that occasion. He called him, come here, sit over here. And there he writes, the pillar of fire. He said, if there be one among you, God speaking out to them, that is spiritual or a prophet, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him. I'll speak to him in visions and reveal myself to him by dreams, and reveal dreams, and so forth. He said, but my servant Moses, there is no one in the land like him. He said, I speak with him from lip to ear. He said, didn't you fear God? See, God didn't like it. Well, when I seen that, I ran in, and she was in the other room. And there he draws a little cornerstone in the ages, and an arrow toward the seventh age. She locked herself in the seventh age. I knocked on the door. She had shut herself up. And I told her I want to speak to her. And I went in there and talked to her. Tried to tell her what it was. I said, "Sweetheart, you know how I love you. But God didn't like that. You oughtn't to say that. Immediately after that, she took a trouble in her side. And that was the prophet's wife. And notice, back then it was his siblings. In other words, God doesn't agree with the idea that because they are family members, no. If they do something like that, and it doesn't please God, they may suffer consequences. How much more for some people who do it now? We took her over to the doctor here in Louisville, Dr. Arthur Schoen. And he found a tumor on the left ovary that I had found 15 or 16 years before. Tumor on the left ovary about the size of a walnut. There's a place where he writes there that ovary on the left side represented denominations. Now, just further on, he says, I said, "Lord, she didn't mean what she did that morning. She didn't mean that." I said, "Lord, not one time has she ever said one word about me going in the meeting, staying months. There the prophet is interceding. Or whatever it was. Not one time has she ever opened her mouth about it." In other words, she didn't meddle in the things of the ministry. He is speaking to God the positive things about her. He is bringing them to God and putting himself there as an intercessor. She had always sent my clothes to the cleaner and wash my shirts, and had everything ready to go in the meeting. Then she wondered how she can serve God. You women, as you serve your husband, you serve God, of course. And now? And then when I come in, all tired and wore out, people coming from everywhere, and I'd had to go out somewhere on a fishing trip or a hunting trip. Why, many women would have blowed up at that. What'd she do? Got my hunting clothes ready for me to go. Let me go. I said, "Lord, she didn't mean that." Now notice, if God knows all things, He knew all that she had done. He is God. But the prophet had to speak and make intercession for her. Notice, what she had done was not enough. Before God, that was no longer taken into account because of what she had done. But what the prophet spoke was taken into account, placing all she had done in favor of the work and him asking for her. Then look. And I said, she's had to be cut open three times on account of the, she was cesarean. And I said, Lord, I hate to see her have to do it again. In other words, to have to be operated again. And just then, I heard something in the room. I looked up, and a voice said, stand up. Said, and there in between said, and now whatever you say, there he draws a Star of David. Now whatever you say, that's the way it'll be. He writes above, healing. I waited just a minute, and I said, before the doctor's hand shall touch her, the hand of God shall take the tumor away, and he won't even be found. That settled it to me. I never called her. In other words, he never called her and told her. Instead, he spoke that word. And then you already know that story, that when the doctor was going to operate her, wait, it's not on this side. Maybe it's on the other side. When he goes over there to the other side, let's turn around, because he was that one. And the doctor has all those x-rays, and he knows where he's going to make the incision or the cut. Is it? That is the opening, that cut, incision. This cut is used on when it's on the floor. Speaking about construction, that's how we say it. Excuse me, if that means something else in another country. It's to make an incision. And they do know exactly where it is. They're not going to make an incision and feel around and guess to see, is it here? The person might have a bump from a hit, and they think it's the tumor. No, they already have the x-rays and everything. Well, it is on the left side or the right side? Left side. Guys, on the left side, we're going to do the operation. Well, when he get to the left side, oh, but it's not here. Did you check the x-ray correctly? Yes, I checked it. It is on the left side. Oh, perhaps he came out wrong. Let's go to the right side. He looked forward. It wasn't there either. So notice, that healing took place where that tumor disappeared. And we already know everything that that means. And what will be happening with that people who soon will receive that full spiritual healing. Spiritual healing will be given. That is, their spiritual eyes will be opened and they will be able to see the fulfillment of what the Reverend William Branham brought in his message, which was to forerun the coming of the Lord. And they will see him fulfilling everything he brought in his message. Now, that is a subject which is very, but very big, to develop what that faith is, what the spoken word is, what speaking the right word is, to make things happen, what the mercy of God is through the messenger, communicated to the people, to an individual, to a nation, to a continent. Now notice, the Messianic Age. It tells us in the message, the foretold seal, preached on November 1st, 2013, in Buenos Aires, Argentina. It says, many prophets and righteous desire to see what they were seeing and what they were hearing. They were seeing the Messiah in his coming, and they were hearing the Messiah teaching, preaching to them. And that is the most important stage. And that is the most important stage in the life of the human race. The time when the Messiah appears and teaches people, even though not everyone will believe, even though not everyone will listen, but the wise will understand. And he that is of God hears God's voice. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. He that is of God hears the voice of God. Therefore, it is a great blessing to live in a time where Christ, in the midst of His church, Christ in Holy Spirit, who said, I will be with you always until the end of the world. It is important and it is a blessing to be in the stage where the Holy Spirit is speaking through the messenger of the age in which the person is living. It is a unique experience that those that live in the stage of life of the messenger of their age have. The rest will know what happened through history. Now, when one lives in the messianic stage, where God sends the forerunner of His coming, of the coming of the Lord, and then He sends the Messiah, that is the most important stage. And that is why it's the golden age or stage for the believers of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the book of the ages, unedited. It tells us on page 520, which it tells us here on page 24 on the booklet Revelation chapter 4, second part. But so you may have there. There is a booklet here, but I have the book here, what he wrote there. It says, how many tonight in this church that knows my brother, that sister, that you're going to be summoned someday, whether you're ready or not, whether you are prepared or not, you're going to be summoned to meet God. That trumpets, and above, there he writes, Moses sounds it. And that trumpet's going to sound. And on the side he draws a cornerstone in the ages and an arrow toward the cornerstone. And when he does, it'll sound to the condemnation to you, at where you'll never live again, and you'll be tormented in a devil's pit of hell for maybe in millions of years. Or he'll summons you. Then he writes there, Moses and Elijah, on high to meet the glorious saints. There on the side he writes, the trumpet of the year of Jubilee. In other words, here in the booklet, but he's making reference to that paragraph. And under that paragraph he writes, where he ends with the glorious saints, and he writes, from the throne of judgment equals the trumpet goes forth. He also spoke to us about that in this message, the stature of a perfect man. On page 6, where it says, now we are approaching the seven seals. We have just finished the seven church ages, and this is a message of teaching. And there he writes, message of teaching. that ties the man in, that's going to be redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus, and is going to be in that church age, and a cornerstone and an arrow toward the cornerstone and the ages. And it's going to that church age, that eternal church age, at the end of the seals. And he writes, the eternal church age. Now, he continues saying here in this book of the ages, unedited, just as sure as God kept his word to Peter, James, and John, just as sure as he kept it to John the Beloved, the Revelator, just as sure as he kept his promise through the church ages, it's that sure that he promised in these last days he would send down in a latter rain and would bring back the same spirit that was upon the earth in him. There he writes, the open door at the last day, there on the left side. There in the book, close to it, he writes, the open door, Revelation 4:1. The light shall come in the evening time and show the same power, the same signs, and everything that he did in his day, he will show it again in this open door in the last day. And he writes, seventh millennium, there on top of last day. Here it is. And over here he writes, the door. Here it is. We got it right with us now. The Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's preaching to you. It's teaching to you. It's trying to get you to see what's right and wrong. Is the Holy Spirit himself speaking through human lips, operating among human beings, trying to show mercy and grace. And there he writes, the teaching. And just a little bit ahead, on paragraph 194, it says, and there's a lot of things that I've done that many of my brethren didn't understand. Many of my brothers out in the field don't understand why I did them. But Father, I did them because I was led to do them. I pray, Father, that you will never let me be ashamed of that leading, but lead me on, Lord, to continue to do as I am led to do. Help me, God, because I seek sincerely to know your will, that I may do it to bring, as you showed me many years ago when I left this church, the bread of life to the people of the world. When I saw that great mountain of bread, and why it robbed saints, there he writes, with the Holy Spirit. In other words, those who had been born again. Coming from all over the earth to eat this bread of life. Oh God, let me, oh God, let me never, never fail to feed the people on the bread of life. Now notice, that is also written there in the book of quotations on page 1. Where he tells us there of that vision. Notice. Page 1, paragraph 1. About halfway, almost at the end. Did you know them? I know. Then he said, that is your tabernacle, and they won't eat that bread of life anymore. I'm sending you this way. Then I journeyed on westward. I was then brought to a plain where a platform was erected. Seemingly, it was under a large tent or auditorium. There were curtains drawn in back of the platform. The Lord, there he writes, large tent. The Lord then told me to pull back the curtains, and when I did, I saw a great mountain of bread of life. He then said, feed these, and with bread of life. And there in large tent, he draws a cornerstone. Feed these. And turning around, I saw white-robed people. Notice, do you know something? Look at this. And turning around, I saw white-robed people coming from everywhere, making up a large audience. And we have read there that Brother William wrote, with the Holy Spirit. Now, when I look at you, I see that audience with white robes. It is you, and those who are connected also. Now notice how God fulfills everything in simplicity. How that was there in a vision that was shown to the Reverend William Branham, and today we see it materialized. Today we see that letter that is written there. We see it that it came to life in you and me. It was said that there was going to be a great tent cathedral. It was in writing. Here is the reality. That word came to life. Now notice in this message, the consummation of the 70 weeks of Daniel, preached on October 13, 2013, here in Calle, Puerto Rico, it says, therefore, it is important to be prepared with Christ, waiting for His coming, waiting for the faith to be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb at the moment when He fulfills His coming and visits His church in the fulfillment of His coming, just as He visited Israel 2,000 years ago. How did He visit Israel 2,000 years ago? In a veil of flesh called Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter from Nazareth. He is going to visit His church, and then He is going to visit Israel as well. But when Israel sees Christ, the Messiah, because what Christ or the Christ means is the Anointed One, and what Messiah means is the Anointed One. The Christ, the Messiah, and the Anointed One is the same thing. Therefore, it is the Anointed One with the Spirit of God in all of His fullness. In the Book of the Ages, on page 371, which is in the book in Spanish, 435 and 431. It says, now, it says God is going to restore. The Lutheran age did not restore the church. It started a reformation. The Wesleyan age did not restore the Pentecostal age did not restore. But God has to restore, for He cannot deny His word. This is not the resurrection of the church, it is the restoration. God will take the church right back to Pentecost of the beginning. Now notice, in verse 25, it tells us why we need restoration. The locust, the carcan worm, the caterpillar, and palmer worm have eaten all but the root and a small bit of the stem. Now, we are told that all these insects are all one and the same in different stages. That's right. They are the Antichrist spirit manifested in organization, denomination, and false doctrine through the ages. And that poor little root and stalk is going to be restored. God isn't going to plant a new church, but He's going to bring His original plant back to original seed. He's doing it, as stated in verse 23rd, by the teaching or former rain. Next will come, and there he writes, teaching, the harvest rain or rapturing faith. And he writes revelation. And he writes rapturing faith. And on the side there he writes, the former rain equals the teaching of the seven thunders. The latter or harvest rain equals the rapturing faith. And above he writes, the thunders. Now, you can later continue there up to page 432 of the book in Spanish. Now notice on this message, believing as the scripture says, preach on September 5th, 2015 in Santa Marta, Mexico. It says, when the scripture, the prophecy is fulfilled, it is the time to receive the blessing that is promised in those scriptures. Until those scriptures come to life to fulfillment, you cannot obtain all the blessing in it yet. But when it comes to life, the blessing is then available. See? What we have been speaking about. In the fulfillment of the tenth vision, by being it fulfilled and carried out, that blessing is already available. We have the promise that God will teach His people, and everyone will be taught by God. This was quoted by Christ in John. All shall be taught of God. John 6:45. And how does God teach? He teaches His people through His Spirit. Through His Spirit is that the divine revelation come to the people. In this message, the stature of a perfect man on page 9, it tells us. So, for days before we have the service, I constantly pray, go to the woods, take in my pocket, tell the wife I'm going out squirrel hunting this morning, and I put a pencil and a tablet of paper in my pocket. As soon as it gets light enough to see, I'm sitting up against a tree somewhere, hands up in the air and saying, Lord, what can I do today? What will you give me for your children? Then when I strike something that seems to burn down, comes something like this. When His presence gets near, I begin to hear something like way off in a distance, something on this order. 2 times 2 equals 4. Closer. 2 times 2 equals 4. 2 times 2 equals 4. 2 times 2 equals 4. On like that. It's His presence coming in. When I was a boy, I don't know if my mom remembers. We would have to ask her and record it, see if she remembers it. That I would wake up at night with some nightmares, I used to say. There were lots of numbers, but giant. For example, a very big 7, a very big 8, a 6, a 5, a 4, all very big. And I would wake up scared, and I would run to the room. I would go on my mom's side so that my dad wouldn't notice that I had gone to their bed. But crying and scared. And she used to say, go, just lay down. And that happened to me. I was perhaps 4 or 5 years old around there, because I wasn't in first grade yet, around kindergarten, around there. And I remember it as it happened now. And that used to wake me up. There were like dreams with numbers or something. It was all numbers, numbers, numbers. But very big. They were giant. I have always kept that. Of how that used to happen to me when I was a child. And I remember that now when Brother Branham says that, it comes closer like that. 2 times 2 equals 4. 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 That is how it gets closer. And so on. It is His presence coming in. So every time Brother Branham repeats it in the recorded tape, notice, 2 times 2 equals 4, 2 times 2 equals 4. He says it faster and louder, as the editor says. He says, 2 times 2 equals 4, 2 times 2 equals 4, 2 times 2 equals 4, 2 times 2 equals 4. So, that is how that presence was coming in. It was something like that. Yield yourself. And after a while, you break away from yourself. And He draws a Star of David there. There comes the vision. Go to such and such a place and such a thing. See? Starts off from meditation. And He writes there. That is how God's presence comes to the prophet. It seems like it's going to burn the soul. And Brother William also writes, 2 times 2 equals 4. Starts off from meditating your mind on God out of the world. Away from the world, out in the wilderness, to yourself. We have read, I believe it is here, in the Book of the Ages, that the wilderness, he writes, it is the Caribbean. We have read it in a few studies, that he puts the wilderness as the Caribbean. Now, away from the world, out in the wilderness, to yourself. And it starts coming. And I say any number or anything, just something starts gradually, faintly coming. Then it comes faster, faster. You sit there and raise up your hands. Don't say a word. Just hold your hands in the air. First thing you know, your whole being is caught away. And he writes, you are in the theophanic spirit. Then you see things that he wants you to know, showing you things that is to come. Sometimes it comes up to a spot until a certain spot and then stops. It doesn't go into a vision. The scripture just poured together. And I grab my pencil so I won't forget it and write it down, write it down. And I come home and I look it over and study it. And sometimes it don't even make sense to me when I'm looking it over. And then after a while, here it is. That strikes. And away it goes again. And he writes, he reveals the scriptures. And he draws a Star of David. Then I get a little book like this and just start sketching down just as hard as I can what he tells me. And I thought, Lord, I'm going down to the tabernacle and tell them, come on down. I got something for them. Well, that's how it come. That's exactly. Until first, he gives it to me. I cannot give it out. And he writes, I cannot give it out to you until I receive it first. Let us look at this quote. 893 of 103. There he writes also, let us read it. It says, then there is a persecution coming upon all those who won't unite with it, and a boycott, and it'll be too late then. You already took the mark. Don't say, I'll do it then. You better do it now. Ramesses was growing, but remember, while Ramesses was growing into power in Egypt, God had Moses in the wilderness. He was growing too. Ramesses, and he writes there 666. In other words, where the devil will be incarnate in all his fullness, in the false prophet, the Antichrist, the man of sin, the Pope. Ramesses had a political system. God had a spiritual system under a prophet, ready to come down to speak to the people. They're both growing again. It'll be a showdown one of these days. And there he writes, 10th Cathedral. It will be a showdown one of these days and a cornerstone on the side. Though he had already prophesied and it proved that he was right, but yet he was in the school of wilderness, hid away from the rest of the world. But he was schooled, being trained out in the wilderness. And there he writes, Moses being trained in school in the wilderness. And above he writes, Moses equals the persecution dash the boycott. And below there, Moses being trained in school in the wilderness. There he writes, herding sheep. He was a shepherd. The wilderness equals the Caribbean. In other words, he was apart in the Caribbean. In other words, let's say it with name and last name. He was, one could say there, he was in Puerto Rico, in Calle. Now notice, being what? Being trained. Now, Peter is saying here how that we must be partakers of his divine nature. Now, each one of us are trying to grow into the stature of God. Now, after we get through with the seven seals, then, at that time, of the sounding of the seventh seal, because we know what a seal is. is to lose the ministry. And he writes, what is a seal? It is the loosening of a ministry, the seventh seal. What is the seventh seal? The loosening of a ministry. To lose seven seals. And we'll see that right on the chart is losing a message, something that's sealed up. Last Sunday night, I preached on the key. And the key is faith. The faith holds the key. And the key is the scripture. And Christ is the door. See? So faith takes the little hinges of the scripture and unlocks the glories and good of God out to His people. See? So it's faith holds the key that unlocks Christ to the people, unlocks it, reveals it. Notice, through the Holy Spirit. There He draws a cornerstone in the ages. So, today we're going to try to take that same key to unlock the way to become a virtuous Christian in the stature of God, that and be a living tabernacle for the living God to dwell in. Now, look in this message, the God of this evil age tells us on page 34. Really catchers of God's Son, like it was, as Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, the women fair and the Son of God begin to marry among them. So will it be when the Son of Man returns. And he writes, women, churches as well. And their God thinks it's great and pretty and scientific. Knowledge, Hollywood fashion, style in his own shop, sure. All this here gooey and stuff, you know. And she, his church, simply loves it. Oh my, I'll give you to understand, I am Methodist, I am Presbyterian. Our pastor has got better sense than to say a thing like that. He's got not enough sense to say the thing that God says then, see? She, the church, simply worships it. She loves it. Just what she'd wanted. She won't join up with nothing, brother, or come into nothing. She has to act like something different from what these modern Jezebels are. Because that's the nature that's in her. How can you be any nature? Who taking dough can add one cubit to his stature? If you were born to be 5 foot tall, you'll not be 6 foot. Oh yeah, like Booth Clibborn stretching machine. Then listen, man, you bunch of Rickies. If you were born to be a man, then act like a man. These bangs hanging down in your face and curled up like some sex appeal. Why, you pervert generations of snakes? What's the matter with you, anyhow? My God will judge this nation someday with fire. That is the United States of America. He'll sink it beneath the ocean. The hour of His judgment is at hand. The whole world will go. And he writes, the judgment for USA. Religious perversions, human perversion. Men don't even know what sex they belong to. Neither does woman. Stand up with a pair of man's overall on a pair of little old shorts, clothes that her every move and form of her body, and call herself a Christian. She's not even a lady, let alone a Christian. She's a street prostitute used by Satan, inspired by Satan, to send the sons of God to hell to fulfill the word that Jesus Christ said would take place. I didn't mean to say that, but He said it anyhow. Because there is the Holy Spirit speaking through the mouth of our brother Branham, His prophet, in that day, in that age. See where this religious spirit comes from? The mixed tree. Says, what's wrong with them slacks? Or whatever they call it, pedal pushers, or ever what it is. The Bible said that any woman that wears a garment that pertains to a man is an abomination in the sight of God. That's thus saith the Bible. And the woman that cut her hair dishonors her head, and ain't not even, it's a sinful thing for a woman to offer prayer with short hair. The Bible says so. Pray in public with her head uncovered, and her, three dots. Oh, you say, I wear a hat. You hypocrites. Teach them women such thing as that. When the Bible said, her hair is given her for a covering, not some man-made hat. And whoever sees them, many of them, doing the opposite to this, trying to bring earthly education and worldly education, let us say, because education and all that, he says is of the devil. And people who try to educate and bring a lot of eloquence and a lot of education, that you should behave like this and not offend here and there, and they are worse. That's what the Bible said. I'm not responsible. I'm only responsible to tell the truth. They should start by correcting themselves first, and then give some advice. Don't be dishonest, as the Bible said, handling the word of God with deceit to fix or meet the request of a bunch of riquetas. I got the word evil here. I got Elvis wrote down instead of evil. It's all about the same. The word Elvis means a cat. And the word Ricky means a rat. When you say little Ricky, you mean little rat. What you call him, that's what he is. Your kid is named that. Change it quickly for the sake of the gospel. Don't name a kid, three dots. You never heard such a name as that back in the Bible or in any other age. It's the age, name for this age. There ever was perverted rats and cats, it's there. All this million-dollar disc jockeys and these kids walking out here can't even go to school without a thing sticking in the ear, that is the headphones, and a little old transistor radio in their pocket, just boom the boom, that is with the music. Oh, they come up there at the house, and them guys trying to paint my house up there, we said, get that thing out of here. If you can't work without that, then get off the job. Makes me so nervous I can't even stand around here. We've dedicated this place to God. We do not want this kind of boogie-woogie nonsense of these last days around here. I said, shut it up or get off the job. Notice, religious, though, oh sure, go right to church and stand in the vestibule with listening to the boogie-woogie. Also notice, Christ's word bride is heading up also, as we see where the Antichrist is heading. Begin back there and now coming to a head. A ecumenical council will put it to an ecclesiastical head. And the little church that's come along also, Christ's word bride down through the age, is coming to a head. And he drew a cornerstone and an arrow toward the cornerstone and the ages below. Because she's going to be united back to its mate. Always, just like the church and everything else, it's got to unite. The wheat, everything else, comes right back to its head where it started from, like Cain and Abel. Word Bride heading up in the person of the Word of God made manifest in this evil age that we are living. And there in the Word of God, the Word Bride, he drew a Star of David and a cornerstone in the ages. See where it's heading up? And Satan will soon take his intellectual bride and exalt this great one, which is the Antichrist, the hierarchy, and set him upon a throne. And the whole world will wander after him. That's the Pope. And then Christ will come, and two cannot exist in the same time. And his kingdom will be taken. There we have Mark 11, verse 22 and on. He'll be destroyed. And Christ, the Word of God, there is a place where it says that Rome will be bombed with an atomic bomb and will be destroyed. That place is Satan's seat. He'll be destroyed, and Christ, the Word of God, which the woman is part of the man's body. They're not two, they're one. And the bride, church, word, a people called out from here and there, for his name's sake, will unite in the body of Jesus Christ. And the kingdom of the Antichrist will be taken and destroyed. And Christ shall take the throne and sit upon the throne of his father David. And he writes the throne of David. And reign upon the earth for 1,000 years. Then present the church to God without spot or blemish. Now notice. At everything that on one hand, God is gathering his church bride, that is, gathering the wheat. But on the other hand, the Antichrist is also gathering the tares. Now, our brother William continues saying here, these ministries for the Hebrew people will have all the power of God without limitation. Why? Because in Revelation chapter 10, the mighty angel already brings the book, the title deed, the book that was sealed with 7 seals. He brings it open and gives it to a man. And then he tells him, you must prophesy before many people, nations, and tongues. And then, in Revelation 11, he's already prophesying. John is the type and figure of what will happen at this end time. In the midst of Christianity, in the midst of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, to which Christ comes at the last day with the little book open in his hand for the restoration of all those he has redeemed, to restore them physically to the eternal life, and to restore the power they lost in the Garden of Eden, to restore all that was lost in the Garden of Eden. That is why at the last day, in the golden age of the Church, which is parallel to the time of the first coming of Christ, the power of God will again be manifested in all of its fullness, as it was manifested in Jesus Christ. And there will be such a great manifestation that the Jews will say, this is what we have been waiting for. They will see the angel of the covenant, the angel of the covenant who appeared to Moses in the midst of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of the seals, on page 148, it says, 148, it says, during this tribulation period, after the bride has been called out and the church goes through the tribulation period, that is the foolish, the 144,000 is called by the two witnesses of Revelation 11. Now remember page 413, where he tells us that all of that happens before the great tribulation begins. That is why one has to look at all those portions to understand everything and place everything right. Now, look, they'll prophesy 1,203 score days clothed in sackcloth. Now, clothed in sackcloth, then, if you can find the word, because in Revelation chapter 19, it says, sackcloth. Clothed in sackcloth. Sackcloth, and let us see something there. If you can find, you may find that on internet. Perhaps by putting there the word sackcloth. According to the Bible, look. A garment of sackcloth worn as a sign of mourning or penitence. Notice there's another one. The biblical meaning of sackcloth. It is an accessory that serves the purpose of inflicting pain upon the person who wears it. Notice. It was used for a long period among Christian communities as a method of bodily mortification. The purpose of the torture caused by this garment is to combat temptations, as well as identifying with Jesus Christ and the pain that he suffered. Now, notice, and there are other meanings out there. But we wanted to bring that so that you could see clothed in sackcloth, dressed in sackcloth. And notice what sackcloth means. Look at this other one. Sackcloth is an instrument of penance used to cause bodily mortification. They're usually made of thin wire that result in sharp spikes facing the inside on the thigh of the person who wears it. Now notice. It is also used to show what Jesus went through. In other words, the pain of Jesus was hard. He says that he sweated drops of blood. Now why? Why would those two witnesses be clothed in sackcloth? If he said they were without sin, where is that in Hebrews? Without? Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now notice, why God was so angry with Moses, that he caused him to enter into the promised land. Now let's continue here on this page where we pause. Now we know this Roman calendar. We got 28 days and sometimes 30 and 31. But actually, the calendar reads this, 30 days to every month, right? And take 1,203 score days and put 30 to it and see what you got. 3.5 years. Exactly on the dot. That's the time that's slotted, time for the Messiah message to be preached to Israel. And he writes, the message of the Messiah. Like it was back there when he returned back and made himself known in a symbol that when he come. There is a place here in the book of quotations where he wrote on the back page on the notes. He writes, the messianic message, the messianic message the Gentiles will take, and there in between the messianic message and the Gentiles, he writes in between parentheses, Joseph. The Gentiles will take, and on top he writes Moses and Elijah. The Gentiles will take the message to the Jews. And also on this other page, let us see if I can find it here. Here he also writes, the message of the second coming of Christ is the messianic message in the messianic age. Now, he keeps saying here in the book of the seals, look, it is beautiful when you write down the scriptures that are being read. Notice how God is helping us to place the word the right way. Then, all that word, before you know it, will be bringing forth in your lives something great. That is not just falling there, as we come and say goes, for no reason. You are believing that word. And notice how that word, notice, same thing, 2 times 2, 4, 2 times 2, 4. It's becoming flesh more and more, as it happened with Abraham and Sarah, around that word. When Joseph was taken down into the country and was rejected by his brethren because he was a spiritual man, he could see visions and interpret dreams. And when he did, he was taken down into the country and was sold for almost 30 pieces of silver. He portrayed Christ exactly, because it was Christ's spirit in him. Notice what happened then. And notice that when he did this, he was put in prison, and one man was saved and the other lost. Like many have been confessing to me and telling me the intentions that many have had in those meetings they had, saying that they would try to do something to put me in jail, and looking for a way to take me away. Notice how the devil is always looking for a way to prevent the work of God from being fulfilled, using his instruments, who allows themselves to be used as Judas allowed himself to be used. That already happened in all those times. Look, at the time of Joseph, his own brothers sold him. Didn't the same thing happen with Jesus? Look, from the same place where he was born, they crucified him. Don't think that it will be different at this time. They are from among the people. Now, each one will be taking the position and the anointing that pertains to them. The children of God, we are receiving the anointing of God, the anointing of the pillar of fire. And we are anointed by God, anointed little messiahs. But there will be another group that will be anointed by the devil, by Satan. And each one is already writing their sentence. Remember that part of the vision? If it wasn't fulfilled back at that time when he was there, then it is fulfilled at this time, and possibly this year. Because I already spoke the word and he heard me. And since everything must be spoken, that word was already spoken. And that person is going to die. Write today's day down. At any moment, that person is going to die. Because she was already seen in a coffin. I saw her, said Brother William. He told me. Laying there. God is not playing around. And seemingly, hey, nothing is happening. Remember that he comes with as lion, as judge of all the earth. That is why he said, I can help you now, but a time will come when I cannot help you. Remember? He said it many times in the messages, mainly in the ministers' meetings. I can help you now, but the time will come when I won't be able to help you. Exactly Jesus. When he was in prison on the cross, one thief was saved and the other one lost. Exactly. Thrown into the grave, supposed to be dead, and was took up and ascended to the right hand of Pharaoh, that nobody could see Pharaoh without seeing Joseph first. Jesus sits at the right hand of God, and no man can come to the Father except by the Son, right? And notice, every time Joseph left, when Joseph rose up from that right hand of that throne, watch, glory, there sat Joseph by the right hand of Pharaoh. And when Joseph raised up to leave that throne, the trumpet sounded, bow the knee, everybody. Joseph is coming. When that lamb leaves the throne, yonder, on his days of mediatorial work, when he leaves the throne up there and takes that book of redemption and walks forth, every knee will bow. There he is. Notice. And he writes, Lion - Joseph. And when Joseph, rejected by his brethren, he was given a Gentile wife. Potiphar had given him, or Pharaoh gave him a Gentile wife, and he bore Gentile children, half Gentile and Jew. They gave a great symbol when Jacob was blessing them, Ephraim on one side and Manasseh on the other. He crossed his hands and gave the younger child the blessing. And the two kids were added onto the 12 tribes. which was only 10 at that time. And he blessed them in Jacob himself. And Joseph, his prophet son, standing there, said, Father, you've done wrong. Said, you put your right hand blessing on the young child, were out to have went on the old. And he said, I know my hands is crossed, but God has crossed them. Why? Israel, having the right to be a bride, rejected and sold their birthrights, and went from the old son, Israel, to the new, Gentile. And the blessing went from there, through the cross, to the Gentile. But notice, after that, see, through that, he had took his bride. But when them boys come down, and he writes, Sion today, that is, to Sion today, to buy food. Oh, it's such a beautiful picture. I'm off of the seal, but I just got to say it, see, because you'll get the picture better, I believe. Notice. Now, when they come down to buy food, you know, Joseph recognized them right away. And Joseph was the son of prosperity. No matter where he went, it always prospered. You wait, and there he drew a Star of David on the left side. You wait till he comes to the earth again. Wait till our Joseph comes, see? The desert shall blossom as the rose, and the son of righteousness, and there he draws a Star of David, rising with healing in his wings. Oh my, all the cactus around Arizona will unfold onto beautiful trees, and it'll be beautiful. Now notice what our brother William continues saying. The Reverend William Branham saw him move in that pillar of fire, and move toward a little room. And there he saw the full manifestation of God through the angel of the covenant, carrying out what God has promised to do at this end time, according to the tenth vision that was shown to the Reverend William Branham, where the third pool, which is the stage of the creative word being spoken, will be fulfilled, and that will be in the midst of the believers in Christ of the end time. Now, there, notice, it will be spoken. Let us see on page 150. One of the places where he tells us about what Brother Branham was saying when he spoke about putting up a tent. Notice, page 150, paragraph 1335. It says, and then I'm here to get the trustees together. I'm kind of getting put out of all this turning me down on place to hold a meeting when I'm feeling led to do it. So I think I'm going to ask if we just can't get out tent and put it up and just stay there, you know, get out here in a ballpark or out on a farm. Here he is speaking on July of 65. 6 months or 7 months. 6 months before departing. And that vision had not yet been fulfilled, because he always longed, he said, move it from place to place, just as the Lord will lead. And I feel that that's what he is going to do. You know, there is a vision concerning that. And I think that maybe the reason this happens, now you know, a lot of times we think it's horrible because certain things happen. But you know, that might be God, see, driving you into these things. When he said it, he'll do it. And there he writes on top, the tent. And on 152, also tells us on paragraph 1353, he says, and we are hoping soon as possible to make a way that we can have where we can bring all of us together, maybe under a big tent. There he writes 2002. He underlines it, circles it, and draws a Star of David, where I'm feeling real definitely led to preach of these seven last vials in the Bible. And above he writes, tenth and the seven vials. And also, in 161, also in that place, from paragraph 1432, it says, and I'm anxiously waiting for the hour to where we can all congregate in one place and preach on those seven plagues and seven vials and the trumpets and so forth. They all happen right in a cluster. And he writes, the seven plagues, the seven vials, the seven trumpets. And there in between, he had written, the tenth cathedral. Now, our brother William continues saying, it was not fulfilled in the first age, nor in the second, nor in the third, nor in the fourth, nor in the fifth, nor in the seventh. Although the Reverend William Branham tried to have it fulfilled at his time, but it was not for his time. God only gave a sample of what the third pool will be at the last day in the great tenth cathedral that will be there in the midst of the Christianity, in the midst of the church bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And since it was not fulfilled in the seventh church age, then it's for our age. It's as simple as that. For it to be fulfilled in the seventh age, it had to be fulfilled under the ministry of the Reverend William Branham. In order for it to be fulfilled in the sixth age, it had to be fulfilled under the ministry of John Wesley. If it was to be fulfilled in the first age, it had to be fulfilled under the ministry of Paul. See? If it wasn't fulfilled in Paul, nor Irenaeus, or Martin, Colombo, Luther, Wesley, nor the Reverend William Branham, nor in our beloved brother William Soto Santiago, then it has to be fulfilled in the veil of flesh, who is in the midst of his church, in a ministry under the tent. The ministry of what? Of the Son of Man with his angels. And he knew, speaking of Paul, how to build tents, but it was not for his time. Perhaps he had some activities under tents, because his job was to make tents, because the Jews had the responsibility not only of having a profession, but also having a job to ensure their family's livelihood. If the work in the profession slows down, then one resorts to one's profession. This shows that one must always be fighting for the family, and above all, for the work of God. In the message, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ poured out on his children, preached on July 15, 2016. He tells us, preach in Panama. We are at the end time. At the last day, which is the seventh millennium from Adam until now. We have gone into that divine cycle where at any moment, the resurrection of the dead in Christ will take place at the coming of the Lord and the transformation of us who are alive to then go with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. In this message, five definite identifications of the true church of the living God on page 7, he tells us. And now the church of God today is the same thing. Called out of everything of the world. Called out of every religious cult. Called out of every religious denomination. Called out of every religious organization. To walk with God. Not being governed by a bishop, but being governed by Christ in this messianic kingdom that we live in. Christ is the King. Christ is the one, and he writes the Messianic kingdom, and he draws a cornerstone in the ages. Now, Christ is the head of this. Christ is the head of this Messianic kingdom. And you cannot organize a kingdom of which Christ is the head. You cannot denominate a kingdom which Christ is the head. And he writes kingdom. Because Christ is king. And you cannot take the intellectual of a man and make an organization to which Christ will govern. Therefore, any companies, any peoples, any group of men that tries to organize the kingdom of God, remember that the kingdom of God is His church. And it says, any group of men that tries to organize the kingdom of God is going contrary to the king. And if they are going contrary to the king, it will be against the king. So if it is against the king, it will be an antichrist. Those who are against the king, those who try to organize that kingdom, seeking to organize the church when there is already a king there, which is the Holy Spirit. That's pretty rough. If I had just a little more voice, we'd make that clearer. It is an antichrist. Notice what they are doing, which Brother Branham says in a message, and he writes it, that those independent groups are the ones that causes the most problems or the most dangerous. But then there we then see that they are antichrist. And if you'll bear with me a few minutes, I'll prove that. An antichrist spirit tries to take a people and call them from organization to organization, organizing them together, which never was the will of God. People has always fussed at me because I struck so hard at the organization. It isn't the people in there that I'm striking at. It's that denominating spirit that makes the people think that we are the people. God's people is His called out people. I believe they're in every denomination. They could be Catholic, they could be Protestant, they could be Jewish, they could be any kind of church. But the real church is the mystical body of Jesus Christ. And there he draws a cornerstone in the ages. Now, our Brother William continues saying, but the saints of past ages and the saints, the believers of this time, will have a time of God's full manifestation in their midst, where in divine love, in the age of divine love, which is the age of the cornerstone, and it is the Messianic age, God will manifest Himself in all of His fullness. We will see that stage, which will be fulfilled in the great tent cathedral. On page 155 in the Book of Quotations, paragraph 1387, there it tells us, notice, now in doing this, I have come here for the purpose of teaching the last vials, last seven vials and the last seven trumpets, and the last seven thunders of the book of Revelation. Time them together in this hour that we are now living, now following the opening of the seven seals. There is where he writes, the seven trumpets, the seven vials, the seven thunders. The teaching in the tent equals the seven thunders, the seven trumpets. Where would the thunders be heard? In a great tent cathedral. To follow the opening of the seven seals, the seven church ages. Above there he writes, a tent. So we couldn't get room to do it, so I hope that soon as I can get a place sufficient for that, either here or in Louisville, New Albany, or either put up a tent, so we can just stay as long as the Lord leads us to do. And there on the right side, he writes again, 2002, tent. Now, our brother William continues saying, therefore, that was already shown by God to the Reverend William Branham, the messenger of the seventh age, or age of the Gentile church. He tried to be used by God for the fulfillment of that vision, but it was not for him, because that is for the end time, last day, in the age of the cornerstone, with the people who belong to that age of the cornerstone, whom, by grace, are also saved, and will obtain all the blessings of God pertaining to this end time, which are written, promised, on page 12a, on the Book of Quotations, paragraph 124. It tells us, I'd like to get a place sometime, the Lord willing, when a tent comes on the scene. And I believe that's soon now. Soon I'm going worldwide. I got a worldwide meeting coming now. And I'd like to get a place where I could sit down for about 6 weeks and just take those things and go through them, you see, back and forth through the scriptures. And he writes, the tent and the teaching. Notice, back and forth through the scriptures. Doesn't that sound familiar to you? Notice how God fulfills everything in such a simple way. He was showing there how that would be. Now, notice on 4b as well. He tells us something there. Paragraph 43. What we need is about 3 months in a tent setting out here somewhere with some real apostolic teaching. Ministers every afternoon. Get back and get in the right swing. The thing, we just went haywire, not because they wanted to, but it's the trend of time. And there he writes, the tent and the apostolic teaching. He wrote that on the right side. And above he writes, the apostles taught a new dispensation. Apostolic teaching in the tent. Now, also on page 5b, on 48, he also tells us something there. You know, I'd like to bring a big tent and pitch it up here for a little while, right among you good people, and just stay so we can have an afternoon teaching service amongst ministers and things, and let the church be set up, you know. What I believe, the Holy Ghost would help us do it. And he writes, the tent and the teaching. And our brother William keeps on saying, some ask themselves, what God will be doing in this end time? Simple. What he promised to carry out in his word. And he will be manifesting himself in the midst of the believers of the last day, the corresponding age, which is the age of the cornerstone. Where? Up at the top. In the age of the cornerstone. On page 26. Paragraph 213. The coming of the Lord would not be just at any certain corner, but it will be universal. One will be in the field working daytime, the other one in bed sleeping on the other side of the world. It will be a universal rapture. And he writes, the coming of the Lord will be something universal. And on to 14. Now, we're trying each night to find something that I'm seeking after. And that is that God, by a vision, had told me that my ministry is making its third change. And I'm longing for it to begin here at the tabernacle. I don't know whether it will or not, but I'm longing for it to do that. And I trust that it will be some way that will. I will be able to preach the gospel in such a way or do something that will help suffering humanity to a happier way of life and a more healthier way of life. It's my sincere desire, and mine too. Notice that all of that, then on paragraph 216, there he speaks about that third pool. There on 214 he writes, the third pool dash the tenth vision. And on that one, 216, there is where he speaks about the name as well. Which he says, choosing to begin to declare his name in a new way. But when he does, he'll be just as perfect as the others. And I'm trusting to God that we'll be greater than the others. Not because of our ministry, but because of the sick and needy people. There is such a need in the land today. Now, all of that, notice, since the third pool is for the bride, it is for the foolish and it is for the lost, well, the world will also be impacted by the third pool. But first, we must receive the rapturing faith. The Messianic Age. That is the subject we have for today, so let us stand and thus leave with us notice, this is the one that I drew on this message. Rapturing faith. And there, look, he has also written from 1963 to 40 is 2003. But if you take into account the day it is behind, it falls on 2002. Now, all of that, and also there, was what I had written, I think it was last week that I showed it, where, there in the office, I wrote this part about the rapturing faith and what rapturing faith is. Because notice, by being in the perfect age, the Messianic age, the age where the people will reach perfection, it is the time parallel to the same time where Joshua was about to go into the promised land and commanded the people to sanctify themselves. The Messianic Age. We thus leave with us in this subject, the Messianic Age, our dear brother and friend,
El doctor
Dr.
William Soto Santiago.